All right. God bless you. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm not Brother Barry. He had to take Brother Tim Dodd to the airport, so he's going to be gone for a little bit. And then coming back, he asked me to just speak here for a little bit, and then we're going to get ready to introduce Brother Ed. So I'm Brother Ben McCafferty. I go to Brother Barry's church, and I'm involved with Brother Barry with Vision Books. And Vision Books, as you may or may not know, is a burden that Brother Barry had on his heart many years ago to start printing books for a lot of countries to make sure that they were receiving the message. And so for many years now, we've been printing either in China or in India and being able to get books mostly to third world countries. So that they can receive the message. A lot of those folks there don't have Bibles. They definitely don't have messages. And we all know how much of a blessing that is to us with the availability very quickly. If you want to see a church age book, or you want the seven seals, or you want to look up something, it's very, very difficult if you don't have that. It's very difficult if you don't have a Bible. So that's something that we do here. Each year, so far in the last couple of years, when we have the men's meetings, we have brothers from multiple churches that are on the board with Vision Books to support Brother Barry, and we meet here, and we have a board meeting to just try and plan for the next year coming up. And actually, while we're here, I'm going to ask those brothers to stand, those brothers that are on the board, if they could stand, Vision Books board. There they are. All right, so we have Brother Steve Fulkerson here, who's from Brother Chris Maritz's church in British Columbia. Brother Quentin, who's from Brother Jack Duff's church in Florida. And Brother Joe Coffey from Newfoundland, Canada, that we're on the board to support Brother Barry and for that. We've got a quick video for you that we just want to share with you. Were we able to find? The other thing we're going to do is we're going to pass along a pad of paper. For those of you who are not already on the email list from us at Vision Books, we would love for you, if you wouldn't mind, putting your name and your email address down, and would love to send you updates just to keep you posted on the work that's happening. All right, Jeremy, go ahead. right. We don't have a lot of money. Brother Barry wouldn't say this, so I'm going to say it for him. We depend on donations. So if you're interested, please feel free to donate. Write your name down if you wouldn't mind being on the email. There is a pad that's going through. All right, we're going to move ahead. We're going to have Brother Ed get ready. I'm going to ask Brother John Andes if he could come. Open the service in a word of prayer for this next session, and then we'll get ready to introduce Brother Ed Hammermeister.
Can we stand, maybe? Would be good. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, it's so good for brothers to dwell together in unity, be able to lift up our hearts together this Saturday afternoon and come aside from the busyness of our work and our normal activities, our families, and be able to focus on you. We just pray you would strengthen all of us, strengthen our hearts, as we heard this morning, our bodies, spirits, and souls. Speak through the speakers. May our hearts and lives be totally changed and transformed this weekend. We look to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're thankful. May this afternoon's time and the time with you and in the Word be so wonderful. We invite you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's remain standing. Brother Ed Hammermeister, who comes from Edmonton, very near and dear to me as a fellow Albertan up there in Canada. My in-laws attend Brother Ed's church. So let's make sure and do our part and pull. I know everybody's eaten, but let's get back into the same atmosphere and pull for Brother Ed. Amen? All right, Brother Ed.
Thank you. Good afternoon. First service after the midday lunch. Wonderful. Hey, we're happy to be here. I was in Africa one time and I had the first service and I was trying to tell them what an icebreaker service was. And they had no idea what ice was. So anyway. Sure enjoyed being here. I was looking forward to the fellowship. A lot of familiar faces. Brethren, I know. Some I don't know. Some I'm just meeting. It's wonderful to be here with you. And I sure appreciate the ministries that are gathered here. The gifted brothers like Brother Tim and Brother Donnie and Brother Paul, Brother Trevor that are coming. I'm actually just here because I heard it was really hard to get into these meetings. And I just thought the only way I could make it is if I'm a speaker. So that's the only way I could get in. Brother Barry, it's a chance I can speak just so I don't have to, you know, get through the queue and the line and anything. Sure, we can work that out, Brother Ed. I can say anything I want now. He's not here. So, you know, I love the atmosphere. We have meetings at home and in the summer, convention meetings, and we have a ministers and wives breakfast, and it's usually a blessed time. It's in a room like this. One of the brothers speaks, and it's become so popular that people want to attend. And people have asked me, Brother Ed, can you ordain me so I can be part of this meeting? And it really took new heights last year when somebody came and said, listen, whatever I can do to get into those meetings, if you can ordain me. And I just said, sister, this is crossing this is crossing doctrinal lines. We won't be able to do that. But anyway, we're happy to be here. We're happy to be here. I'm Brother Ed. I'm from Edmonton. That's easy to remember. Canada. I'm Brother Tim Dodge Schofer. Till this afternoon when he came. Just so happy. I'd like to just, let's go directly to the Word. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this gathering. Lord, once again, we invite you. It's your Spirit moving among us. Lord, you are the great one. You're the mighty one. You use men. You use gifts. Lord, we're thankful just to be a part of this. Now, Lord, we ask not only the blessing on the minister, but every one of us, all that will hear, all the words that are said. Lord, we live in a tremendous time. Things unfolding before us in the world around us. Lord, in a spiritual realm, Father, we want to be prepared. We want to be ready. We want to be focused. I pray that you'd strengthen and empower us now. Bless these words, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seats. I'll invite you also to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to have to move quickly, only because 15 minutes out of my hour and 15 are gone, so we'll have to do our best. And I'm not known as a short-winded preacher, so at home. But I'm also out of my element. I feel like as a pastor, I can take liberty, I can carry things. This is a little out of my element, so just help me a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Paul, the first church age messenger, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, and that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is in the first age, and then he uses these words, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtility, so should your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, we'll just going to, we've got a little bit of PowerPoint. I'm certainly not at the level that somebody like Brother Tim is, but I don't feel I'm a structured preacher. I feel like I like to work as the Lord leads me. I'm going to take a subject just called Point of Origin, and I'll take you to that. If you can put the PowerPoint up, and as I was preparing, I just had some thoughts and notes, but just pulled a few things together, so I'll just try and stay on cue here. So if we look at this, and I'm going to dwell a little bit just on the negative side before I come to the positive, so bear with me. So this is a quotation out of God. I'm going to have to read back here because that's not working with these glasses. So the God of this evil age, Brother Bram said, this is the most deceiving age of all ages, the ages of deceit from the Garden of Eden all the way to dawn. There's never been an age as deceptive as this one. And we don't even realize that. I worked with Brother Harold Hildebrandt for many years. I ministered as an associate, as an associate pastor. And then even when he couldn't minister in the latter years of his life, I was working with him. Brother Harold always created an analogy. And he said, when we get over there, and we're going to meet saints from the dark ages, and we're going to say, how did you do it, brethren? You know, it's amazing how you stood in these ages. And we'll see Luther, how did you protest? And then they'll say, what age did you come out of? And we'll say, the last age, Laodicea. He says, they'll stop, and they'll all gather together, and they'll say, hey, guys, this guy came out of the last age. That's how deceptive it'll be. But we only overcome by the anointing that God sends us. So it's deceptive. And I'll just drop down to the highlight. It's up there where it almost looks like the real thing. Just leaving one word out is all you have to do. Promised of the age, a great time. Christians everywhere, take heed to the hour we're living. It would become so close. Let me slow down. that it would deceive the elected, if it were possible. Now, as I went into this a little bit, and I just pull up a couple quotes to start, and I love the way Brother Tim finished this morning session. Why would God, what would God call a people out of this last evil age for? The reason is to try her, his bride. And as it says in Psalms 105, talking about Joseph, the word of the Lord tried him till his time come. I believe our time is coming. We find the evil age is to prove to Satan, she is not like Eve. She is not that type of woman. She will be tried by his word, the bride, as Adam's bride was tried by the word. So what a wonderful thing we have. And, you know, we live in such a time of great deception. We see it, you know, in the world around us. You know, I don't know, 15, 20 years, it used to be the fax machine we'd get. And every once in a while, we get these fax machines from a paper from a Nigerian prince saying he had $25 million, but he needed a bank account to push it through. Could I get your card, your bank account number? You know, I trust that we've all gone past that. But now it's more deceptive. They'll call you from the bank and say, hey, you're overdrawn. You got to put money back in right now. Call this number. Do this. Give us your account. I mean, it's a deceptive, deceptive age. And these things are all around us. And they'll send emails with what we call clickbait. So you're designed to tap into it. This is your bank. You know, this is all of these different things. But that's not the target. That's not what the enemy is trying to do. The enemy is trying to bring it to another level where he is coming into the word as close as he can. And where we need to be able to see is, where is this coming from? And I believe God has endowed us with things that we can see, some characteristics that were unveiled about what happened in the Garden of Eden, about what happened in the time that Jesus was here. And these are characteristics. And you know, the internet, you know, it's one of the most amazing tools. You can get almost anything. I mean, when's the last time somebody opened up a phone book or a map? I mean, we just turn on the internet. So the internet becomes a great source of information. So I went to the internet just to prepare for this service. And I pulled up a quote here. The problem with quotes on the internet is they're not often true. Now, Brother Andrew Coffey always told me, make sure you get two sources. So I got another source. Fake quotes will ruin the internet. So, you can't trust everything that's out there. So we see that those things are designed. I was over in Norway and I was preaching and I was using something and I quoted Socrates, and there happened to be a couple of university students. It wasn't Socrates, it was some other guy. I said, sorry, brothers, catch the drift of what I was trying to say. You know, stop beating me with these things. Anyway, this is the world we live in, and it's all around us. So as we go into these things, and as I just try to, you know, they say, always look at the credentials, you know, look at the timing, you know, look, judge, is it too good to be true? These kind of things. But these things are happening in the world. Now, this is our best quotation source we have, and I'm grateful for it. So Brother Branham says, things that are happening in the earth are always representing something that comes from somewhere else. When it strikes the earth, usually it's in a perverted condition because it is a world of darkness and sin. Now, he said, so you, when you see things strike, usually it's a negative form. Now, it comes from somewhere. And under no other ministry like this ministry have we seen into the realms of the supernatural. We have a window that is beyond, and he'll say, there's a black hood and there's this, and these two are calling, and seeing all of these things, I would say we're blessed. And we're blessed because God has given us eagle eyesight through a prophet to be able to look and to see and to discern. So he says now there's a fourth dimension that's pervading this dimension. But I love the latter part of this. From being in three dimensions, then the sixth dimension also has representation. So things that are happening in the earth today. So as we go into this just a little bit, I just put this up quickly. It's amazing that this picture was taken in a time when there was negatives and not digital photography. So God allowed it to be in a time when it could not be altered. In a time when it was going to be proven and it still stands as a representation of what God has done in this last day. So God is true. And I'm glad we have this picture. And though it's disputed and though all kinds of things, there was a brother that I know, and he's no longer in the message. And he went down to the Smithsonian Institute and he said, and he had this question on his heart, Lord, if this is really true, then let me find the picture, because it wasn't where he thought it was. And he actually found it. And he still didn't believe it was true because he left the message. So I would just say, hey, I'm grateful for the picture. I'm grateful for the signpost. These guys with the Unbelieve the Sign website. Listen, I've lived in Edmonton for over 40 years. And you come to Edmonton and there's a sign saying Edmonton. I don't need to read the sign. I've been living in that city for a while. I've been living in this message for a while. I've got the fruit of the land. I'm tasting of it. I don't need to point back to that. There's something more real. So now Brother Branham talks in invisible union. And I feel like I'm rushing, but I just need to relax a bit. Invisible union, he's talking about the things that are going on, the insanity. And he says the complete, total insanity this world is going into, he said, it's almost there. You see the footsteps of it. That's what we heard last night. And he says, it's marching right out on the street, right down to the church pew. Now, we all think we're immune because we're in the message. And we're not a denomination. And he said, but I will say, friends, it's closer than that, because if it would deceive the elected, if it were possible. So if I just take this for a moment, I'm still in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul is saying in verse 13, and you know, he talks about his passion for that first church age, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity. And then he goes to his own ministry and he tells, I've labored, I've done all of these things, you know, and you're off doing things. Verse 13, and he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we can say, I think we can say it like it would be in the Bible, not all Israel is Israel. Not all message is message or around the message. Not every minister that gets behind the pulpit is that way. And so when things strike the earth, so we have this thing called AI. And, you know, we had a chat line with our trustees, and we were talking about a project, and we needed to write a letter, and one of the brothers said, oh, just get AI to write it. And then the other brother says, yeah, we'll get AI to write it. And we had a new brother, a new trustee on the thing, and after numerous chats about AI, he says, who's Al? I said, listen, you're going to meet Al somewhere down the road here. And Al, as we refer to him, Al is everywhere. And AI is now being programmed to rewrite itself on its own through AI. It's beginning to take over. Now, you say, how does that affect us, Brother Ed? Some of you may have seen this, some of you may have not. Can I get you to jump to the second last slide, Jeremy? So just a short video clip. Are we able to get volume on that? How many have seen this? Just a few? Okay. If I need to go on to something else, I will.
And so that being a type of rejecting Christ in that generation, this is a greater type. For that generation that rejected the resurrection had pardon. But this generation who makes fun of the Holy Ghost is impardonable. Greater is he that rejects the Holy Spirit than he that rejects Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh on the earth. Jesus said so. You speak against the Son of Man, and they said, he was a fortune teller or some evil spirit. Said, you speak against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven you. But whoever speaks a word against the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven man in this world. That is part of the working of the Holy Ghost, an evil, unclean thing. You see the work of God being done. And so that being a type of rejecting.
So what you're seeing there, or what you're hearing there, is Brother Branham's voice. The image that you're seeing is an AI-generated image. And now you're coupling the two together. Now, when I first saw this, it was kind of a little creepy to me. And I thought, it's amazing, and this is in the first generations of artificial intelligence, that they're able to do this. Now, I'm going to get you to play the second one, if you will. This is going to be a little bit longer, but it's a little enlightening. And I want you just... Now remember, to hear something, you retain so much. To see something, you retain more. When you put hearing and seeing together, you're able to retain to a greater level, but you also begin to form and associate images in your mind. So if we can play that second one, just tell me whenever you're ready there. Okay, so again, this is an AI-generated image with Brother Branham's voice behind it, and we're good, thank you. With Brother Branham's voice behind it, and actually I found this to just catch some of what he was saying. I was driving down the road, and a vision broke, and I was driving, going beside cliffs and things. Now, this is amazing to me, the realm that he lived in, but the realm that God was controlling. And I thought, this actually, I appreciated some of this because it helped me give an insight. But what we need to remember, this comes from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So what that doesn't give you is the discernment between the line of what is true and what is not true, what is right and what is evil. So that only comes by the tree of life, which is Christ. And that's where we need to be feeding on. Now, that's not to say we don't use this, but we need to do it through the filter of Jesus Christ. And that is where we want to stay in that realm. Now, I'm going to, I just want to take this for a moment. And I want you, earlier this year, the Lord just led me into a message. Brother Samuel Browning was with us, and we just got to talking, and I shared years ago a message that I had. We were going to a meeting. It was about a man who was rising in the message, and it was, with questions and things. And we were driving. It was a two-hour drive, and we put on this tape, and it was called Discernment of Spirit. And the message, as we drove and we listened, it caused me, it illuminated to me that it's us who has the discernment. It's not just the gift, whatever somebody has, but we have it within us. Are you with me? Our eternal destination is not based on what we see or hear, but our discernment of what we see or we hear. And so we went to this, and I so appreciated that message, and I recently revisited it. And I felt it very important, and we brought this over several services to our church, because God has given us this in the age we live in, because we're going to need it. And I'm saying this because we can think that the message is the message, and it's pure, and there's a statement Brother Branham makes, it will never denominate. I'm not saying there's denomination or controlling spirits, but there will not be another move after this. In other words, you're only going to go into the real. There's going to be some perversion spawn off of it. But the real message will go on. Three exoduses. One takes a people out of a natural land. Two, it takes a natural people into a spiritual people. But this last exodus takes a bride out of a church age. And this last message, or this last exodus, takes us all.